Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
The Opinion Line on Cork's 96 FM.
Jordan, you wanted to raise a point and raise an angle to this evictions ban that maybe some people are missing. Morning.
Morning, PJ. Yeah, absolutely. Just to give you a bit of background information. So I'm currently living with my girlfriend and her mother. Yeah. My girlfriend's father actually built a house before he passed away.
Right.
Here in Fermoy, and in the last number of years we've actually been trying to get into the house the last year or so, and we actually have a tenant living there at the minute. I should say her mum has a tenant living there, and we can't get into the house due to the eviction ban at the minute.
Just so I'm understanding you correctly, so your girlfriend's mum has a house, it's currently occupied with a tenant, she wants to give it to your girlfriend, she wants her and presumably you to live there, but she can't because the tenant's in situ and the eviction ban stops her removing the tenant.
Absolutely, PJ. So we're in a situation where if after handing in the notice for the 9 months, which is due at the end of April, and if the eviction ban stays, then we could be talking, as I say, in January before we can get any movement on this. However, we're living with the mother-in-law. It's obviously very hard for all of us.
So she did, again, just to clarify, she did serve an eviction notice on the tenants, and you say they're good people. This is nothing personal. We just want the house. She did serve a notice on them. That's due to expire soon. But if the ban stays in place, you're
caught again. We have no obligations to get them out, you know?
Yeah.
So it's kind of a difficult situation, which could leave us in the boat of being homelessness, you know?
Yeah. You're one of the categories of people, I think, Jordan, that we might forget in discussing this issue.
Yeah. Yeah, and I fear that's the problem. I mean, my girlfriend or partner has actually emailed every TD that it makes sense to email, just to drive on our point as well, you know, that there is two sides to this story, and it won't actually curve the homelessness as much as we're hoping for, my opinion, anyway.
Yeah. You also have people who are coming home from overseas, and they can't access housing because their parents or someone connected to them has a tenant in a place. They might
Absolutely.
Want to give it to the returning immigrant, but they can't. That's a complication of the eviction ban.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I suppose another good point there is, for example, if there's a family of three who have an extra house and one of them has a medical problem and need to sell the house for money to deal with a medical problem, then they're left in a situation that they also can't sell the house at the minute to cover any medical expenses, etc.
Yeah.
You know, so there's that side of it as well. I mean, there's good and bad things.
Do you think that sometimes we're inclined to, and I've been chatting about it here for the last few days, when I'm quoting experts who actually work on the front line of homelessness, all saying, please don't do this to the government. Do you feel sometimes, Jordan, that, you know, cases like yours are being forgotten?
I think with the amount of homelessness that the country's facing at the minute, that a big focus is on that, where the lads like ourselves are kind of just being kind of brushed off to the side, you know? I mean, I know a lot of my mates now who are sleeping on couches and stuff like that.
Yeah.
They're not being classed as homelessness, but yet they've no home to go to, like only a mate's couch or whatever the case may be.
Yeah. The problem is bigger than we know. I mean, we have the official figure comes out every month. It's 11,000, nearly 12,000. But you're right there, the amount of couch surfing that's going on, the actual figure is much higher.
Absolutely, absolutely. We're going to be facing homelessness then ourselves, do you know? All that we can hope is that the government decide to go a U-turn on the decision and not extend it. However, if they do extend it, I mean, I'd like to see some terms and conditions whereupon house owners can give it back to their daughters that need it, you know?
Yeah, this is where we talk a lot about property rights and how much of property rights are protected by the Constitution. This is your mother-in-law owns this property. I think a lot of people forget your situation, Jordan. Your mother-in-law owns the property. She wants you and your partner to have the property, but she can't give it to you because of the eviction ban.
Yeah, you're spot on, PJ, you know?
And all you're doing is asking people to consider your situation.
Yeah, to just hear the side of the story that we have as well as, you know?
All right. Jordan, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
PJ, thank you very much.
It is a side to the story. Whether you can see the position Jordan's in. And you have people coming home from overseas, like I mentioned while I was talking to him. People who've been away for a couple of years. Sons, daughters, who've been away for a few years. And they decide to come back home now. And they say, can I move into the apartment that, or the house that dad or mom owns? And said, well, you could, but we've someone living in it, renting it, and we can't evict them. So you've got the son or daughter that's coming back from Australia or America or South Africa or wherever they've been. They're the ones now trying to get into the rental market. So, you know, there is that side to it. Kate says there were 500 people booked to see one apartment on the TV news last night. I was watching that. 500 people registered to view an apartment, a two-bedroom apartment in Dublin. The estate agent then kind of shook it down to 30 or 40 people. There was a queue on the news. Did you see the Airbnb register has been delayed, says Kate. I have sympathy for some arguments for ending the ban, but the real answer is a comprehensive policy to take care of the people who are going to be made homeless. I can't emphasize this isn't the only people you see on the street either. There are many families living near you in houses that this is going to happen to. They'll probably announce some program or other, but they need to make sure resources are in place too. People can get accommodation, not just join waiting lists. Yeah, the Airbnb thing was a plan to free up 12,000 properties. But the EU have delayed plans for an Airbnb register. There's a ton of stuff out there on Airbnb. Short-term rentals, making a ton of money for whoever owns them. And look, that's all part of your property rights. If you own a place, you're perfectly entitled to rent it out for Airbnb. But the rules are to change across the EU. They haven't changed now because there's a delay in the EU. So those Airbnb properties are not available now to be used to house people that might otherwise be homeless. Others would say, and they would say, well, I own a place and I Airbnb it and it's my property and I'll do with it as I please. That's an argument that can be made as well. And Rebecca, you were just a few months away from having enough money to put down a deposit on a mortgage. Good morning to you.
Good morning. Myself and my husband have been saving for many, many years. We've been through many rental properties, many rental crises. And, you know, by our calculations, January, we were going to do it. We were finally going to have it.
How much were you looking to put away?
We were going to 40,000.
It's a lot of money to be saving in the middle of a rent of high rent and all that. How do you put 40 grand away with the rent?
It's been 10 years now that, you know, 8 or 10 years we've been saving for a house on and off, you know. We've been trying to save for a house for 10 years for a deposit. But, like, you know, when we started renting 10 years ago, we were living on the Navan Road in Dublin in a three-bedroom house that we paid $11.50 a month for.
Yeah.
And when the rental pressure zone came in, our rent went up overnight by €700 a month.
Oh, dear.
So, they knew that they were going to be capped, so they immediately put the rent up. We started moving further and further out of Dublin, And then eventually we realised that it would genuinely be cheaper for us to commute from Cork.
To commute? Okay.
So,
wow.
Yeah, because we were working, myself and my husband were working, we were both working full-time, and we had our son in creche full-time. So there was we were actually out of the house from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. 5 days a week. We didn't own a car. We were like, if we just keep the head down and we just flake away, we can just get there. If we just work really, really hard. And it's a fantasy that they tell you that if you just keep working hard and working hard, but like, you'll be dead before you get there. You know what I mean? Like, that's really what it feels like at this point, because it doesn't matter how hard you try. Like, it's impossible. Like, we moved back to Cork and we were delighted because we were able to come back to our families. But, you know, we've paid in this house that we're in right now, we have paid 95,000 euros in under 5 years in rent.
Right.
And we're supposed to pay that out in rent. We're also supposed to pay for, you know, all, you know, we're supposed to pay for the private healthcare that's required because our health system is collapsing. We're supposed to pay for all of our child's, you know, therapies because the children's disability services have collapsed altogether. We're supposed to do all of those things, then pay the skyrocketing costs of everything else, but then also never go into your overdraft and save 40 grand.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Who can do that? It's not humanly possible.
Yeah.
Like, you know, social housing is a right, and it's something that I'm really passionate about. Both myself and my husband grew up in a council house, and you know, it's really important that we have a functioning system that is a safety net for people who need it.
Yeah.
But we shouldn't need it.
But you,
we don't need it.
You've got this money now put aside. Fair play to you. You can't have had as much as a glass of wine and a packet of crisps, I'd say, for the last God knows how long of a Saturday night. God bless you.
I don't drink or anything, so.
I'm just, yeah. Yeah, you can't afford to drink. You poor woman. So now your landlord, because of the lifting of the eviction ban, your landlord will need you to pack your bags.
Yes, they've decided that they want to sell up. And look, I mean, that is entirely their right. It is not up to private landlords to prop up an entire housing system.
Yes.
You know what I mean? They bought this house. They wanted to make money out of it. They didn't make as much money as they'd have liked. Whatever, not my, you know, that's their right. It's their house.
Yeah.
It's not up to them to house me and to deal with whatever. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
It is our government. Do you know what I mean? Like, the reality is that we're like, housing is a really nuanced and, you know, it's a complicated thing. The whole idea of an eviction ban in the first place was obviously very problematic. But mm-hmm. once they pulled the trigger, they should have realized what they were going to do, because as soon, like, they would have been better to never do it. Do you know what I mean? Because what they've done now is actually run another half of the landlords in this country out.
So,
but we don't need to get more landlords. We need more houses for people to actually buy.
Speaking as someone who's done everything right for the last 10 years and now is facing eviction, and very gracious of you to say, look, the landlord is entitled to do what he or she wants with their own house. That's most gracious of you. But like, what are you going to do now?
Well, we earn too much. Well, my husband does, because I'm a carer, an unpaid carer for my daughter. So basically what our options are, we can try and negotiate with the landlord to try and let us stay here and to hold on, to wait until we have our money together. But then that means that we have to kind of buy this house at whatever they're asking for. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's one of the proposals now, that you'd have first call on that house if the landlord's interested in dealing with you.
But I mean, that's the thing. Fianna Fáil are talking about this, and I have emailed Micheál Martin's office about this because I can't understand it. They're putting out all these memes and pictures on social media of all of these new things that are going to be up and running in 5 days, and Oshert is going to fix everything. Like, you can't interfere with somebody's property rights, like, just because you had a brainstorming session in the Dáil about it. It doesn't work like that. It requires complex legislation. And if they don't realise that, then we are in far more trouble than we ever realised. If they can't see something that is that obvious.
That's a very important point. Property rights are protected by our constitution, like no other constitution protects property rights that I've ever heard of. None of these things they're telling us they'll do are something you can do in a few days because you'll run into constitutional problems. That's what you're thinking, isn't it?
Well, I mean, they came out and they said, oh, it won't require legislation. And then, sure, immediately the housing department was like, are you crazy? Of course it requires legislation. You can't just interfere with somebody's right to put their house to market for the best available price just off the top of your head because you've got a whim. It doesn't work like that.
So what?
And if they don't get that, like...
So what are you going to do, Rebecca?
The options are basically that we find a way to get the landlord to sell us this house, or the other option is that we're not entitled to emergency accommodation. We don't get HAP. We don't get any of those things, nor should we. But the problem with that is that there's nowhere to rent, and when we have to leave here, we'll be going to a hotel, and we will be paying for that hotel ourselves from our deposit. So. I'm not sure exactly what we're supposed to do, but go live in a hotel indefinitely until our money runs out, and then maybe we're entitled to social housing. I mean, is that what they want us to do? Do they want us to pour that down the drain for the last 10 years of work? I mean, that's kind of what it's looking like. The other option then is to leave the country because, frankly, I mean, I'm a very proactive and practical person. And
millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
This country clearly doesn't want us. It doesn't want our generation. I'm ashamed. And I'm so devastated that I used to live in London before my kids were born, and because I emigrated as soon as I could, you know, at 18, and I came back and I had my kids here, and I feel so guilty and so ashamed that I brought them back here into this country, and that, you know, I let my nostalgia for Ireland entice me back to let my children suffer in this country.
Rebecca, powerful words. I have no reply to that ever was, but I thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thanks.
Wow. Lots of people listening to Jordan earlier on. Jordan is one of those people affected by the eviction ban in a way you wouldn't think, in that his mother-in-law has a house that she wants to give to himself and his partner for them to live in. There's a tenant in it. They couldn't evict them with the ban in place. That's one side of the story you don't often hear. Then Tanya says, don't forget the landlords who've children going to college and need their house for their family for student accommodation. They must be considered too. Sarah, what do you want to say? Good morning to you.
Good morning, how are you?
Very well. What's on your mind?
No, I just think it's a whole mess. I'm constantly seeing derelict buildings.
Sarah, could you get a tiny bit closer to your phone, please? You're a bit far back from it.
Sorry, it just makes me so angry seeing so many derelict buildings. Just take Castlemartyr, for instance. Yeah. There are so many vacant buildings around there and all around Ireland.
Yes.
And they're constantly complaining that there's not enough plumbers, tradespeople and everything. Get the lads in the ETB and that can be their practical work. Get them in and doing something in the vacant houses and renovating them.
That's a great idea, actually. Get trainees to come in under supervision and do the grunt work.
100%. I mean, they're learning and the job's being done.
I don't know. Well, I know Castlemartyr to drive through it and occasionally stop for a bag of chips and the chipper there. But you're saying there's a lot of property.
There's a hell of a lot of property. But like I said, not only Castlemartyr, it's like there's a lot of towns around and there's so many vacant properties. Same Lismore, same all over the place.
Yeah.
But like I said, one minute they're screaming out that they don't have enough tradespeople. Well,
there is a huge shortage of tradespeople. That's the absolute truth, because no one's lining up to be an apprentice anymore, so there is a shortage, all right, that's for sure.
Well, that's just it, but they're making it so difficult for people to go and get these apprenticeships.
That too. There is that too. I was talking to an electrician a few months ago, Ken, and would love to take on apprentices, but it's just not attractive for them to do it.
Yeah. Exactly. So if they set up something like that, where you're actually going out into these derelict buildings, and like a lot of these buildings have been left there for 10, 15 years.
Yeah.
Like, and just of no use. And you've got all these families that are just in desperate, desperate situations.
There are grants now as well. They put this, I think it's called Croí Cónaithe. They put this scheme in, a grant scheme. Now, it's like all grant schemes. It's desperately complicated. But at least it is there. Thank you, Sarah. Frank, morning.
How are things, Peter?
Very good. What do you want to say?
Just the whole story. Like, you know, I keep hearing, like, repeating and repeating the same stories. And we're in the same bandwagon, basically, like, right now. About 2021, we bought a house after 5 years of hard savings. And there's no shortage of savings there, like in work. Like I'm a self-employed and I'm employed as well. So I have two jobs. Herself has a full-time job and we have a daughter. So hands full, trying to save, bought a house in 2021. And at the time of signing the contracts, the bank refused to release the money because my company was under the COVID payment.
Hang on a second. So you'd money, just to roll back. So you had a deposit in place, you'd worked hard, you'd saved hard, you had the finances in place, you had an offer from the bank, you found a property, and then at the signing of the contract, the bank said what?
The bank declined. I got a phone call from my solicitor saying that there was no funds. The bank refused to release the funds because my company was under the COVID payment, even though I was working through. So I never stopped working through COVID. And thank God we never said anything to our landlords. We were waiting to get everything signed up because it was still under construction. So we bought through planning. Like, basically, it was a new build.
Yeah.
We had time, so we didn't break the news to the landlords, thank God. Because that's it. Our hopes were gone once we heard the bank wouldn't release the money.
So you're still renting. Are you affected by this ending of this eviction ban, though? Are you in trouble?
So we don't know. We don't know. As it is, our landlords are very good. It goes through private landlords, so there's no agency involved, which is good. They're absolutely brilliant. We've been living in the house for 5 years. And we're paying only 1,100, you know, in the Douglas area.
That's fantastic, Frank.
Which is very good. Now, I look after the house, like any works, any maintenance jobs, I will do it, like, you know, painting and so on. Like, we're good tenants as well. Like, you know, it goes both sides. But they're brilliant landlords. But they have three daughters. We don't know what's going to happen. And I wouldn't blame them if they want to give the house to one of their daughters. Do you know what I mean? It's absolutely normal. But that will put us in a very difficult position. One, we won't be able to find a house in the market. And if we do, we'll be paying about, what, 1,800?
Minimum.
A month.
Douglas, you'll be lucky.
Yeah, $2,000. So I've seen them two hundreds, something like that. So that immediately will stop any savings we have in motion. Like we kept the savings, but as much as we could. We don't have much, but as much as we could. But that will stop immediately our savings. As the previous caller was saying, we shouldn't need to, but we don't avail of any HAB or any help from the government. We don't avail for social housing because there's actually two small incomes and one normal income coming into the house. So we don't avail of any of the helps. We'll be left literally to no savings and a scraping to pay the rent. So we've decided to just give up.
How do you mean?
I said we give up with our dream. Like, our dreams were shattered in 2021.
Your dream was to buy.
Well, our dream was to buy, and we're coming from Spain, so we've been living in Ireland for the last 20 years. Like, so we love Ireland, you know, and we wanted to stay here, and we want to continue staying here. But I think we have a plan B in motion. So it's like the buying option in Ireland is gone right now. Like, either like putting them ourselves in a $2,000 mortgage a month, because I'm over 40, so my mortgage will be shorter. Obviously, so it'll be more expensive. So we're thinking and keep on saving and just buying a property in Spain.
Maybe I was just going to say that. So you're from Spain. You're thinking. You're already thinking of going back.
Yeah. Well, maybe not going back, but at least waiting 5, 6, 7 years more. Keep on saving and maybe getting a property, buy a property down there, cash in hand, and having our property down there, and keep on saving here. Yeah. Two things can happen. Like, you know, you have a plan B if things get worse.
If you have a property in the right part of Spain, Frank, and you don't need me to tell you this, you'd have a handy income coming from that as well.
Yeah. Well, that would be 6, 7 years to save for that and paying in cash. Like, you see, we'll have escape option there.
Yeah, you
if
would.
Things go bad in here, we
but,
can go.
But like you say, your dreams continue to be shattered and you're looking at different options now. Thank you, Frank, and best of luck with whatever you choose to do. Pat.
Yes.
What would you like to say, sir?
I have a couple of questions, PJ. One, the first one I know is, how many TDs are currently landlords?
I think the percentage, this was in the Journal, and it's a while back now, I think the percentage is 23% of the Oireachtas are landlords.
Right, and so that would...
23% is about just under a quarter of them, so that'd be about 40 to 50, I suppose.
That would make perfect sense then. Why they want to lift the ban? Because I think myself that while the ban is in place, they can't put up the rent on their own properties.
Right.
Now I know there's an awful lot of genuine cases caught up in all this now, as we've heard this morning, and I understand that too, and I feel dearly for an awful lot of people, I actually do, like, but the government are doing this to suit themselves, they're not doing it to suit the country.
Yes.
And another thing, you were talking here a while back as well about, or they're going to build this, whatever, bloody blah, all this kind of thing. It'll never happen because there's a major labour shortage in the construction industry at the moment.
Bingo. Nail on the head, Pat. Shortage.
And I know the amount of lads, I work in construction myself, and the amount of lads that I've worked with in the past 6 to 12 months that have left the country and gone to Australia.
Yeah.
Because they don't see the point in being taxed to their necks for the rest of their lives.
Mm.
And they're just going out of the country. I'd say, give it another 12 months and I say there'll be a complete generation gone out of this country. And they'll never come back.
Pat, I have a small job myself planned for the autumn or into winter of the year. It's a bit of tiling. Right?
Right.
It's a bit of tiling. And I rang a pal of mine who's in the building game. And I said, how long would I need? He said, you want to be booking a fella now if you want to get it done before next Easter. That's how short they are of people.
Yeah, possibly. I wouldn't quite call that fair, no, like, but...
He said at least 3 months, and some of the guys, you won't get them for, depending on the size of the job, you won't get them for a year.
Yeah, well, a lot of the toiling shops in the city would have
their own people on books. Yeah, I know.
Yes. Well, if they would,
but I was just thinking, in general, that's just me. I mean, trying to get a tradesperson these days trying to gather tradespeople for a job, there is a shortage, massive shortage.
There is, and they were talking a while ago about that lady that was talking about Castle Merton, about taking on apprentices and all this sort of thing. They're not there. They don't exist. Like,
actually, Pat, there's the thing. You're in construction. Why are people, like, there was a time when if you were a chippy or a spark or a plumber or a plasterer or a tiler or a painter, you had guaranteed work for the rest of your days. That's the case now. If you can get a good trade, you'll be working till you're old enough to stop. So why aren't people going into it?
Well, see, the difference is, see, during the pandemic, when the pandemic hit, a lot of fellas went out of construction and went in working inside in factories into nice, clean jobs where you go in the morning with nice, clean clothes and you come out in the evening the same way. And when the pandemic was over, then they just stayed in the nice, clean jobs. They were getting better money.
Yes.
And the environment, everything was a way better.
You're right, actually, on that. Call centre syndrome is what one person I know called it, in that, how am I going to get a guy for 40 hours a week or 39 hours a week on a building site or in a bar even, when he can do 3 12-hour shifts in a call centre for similar money, and have the rest of the week off?
Yeah, that's exactly it.
That's what they're doing as well?
I see it on site here every day, like this week, just this week alone, like with the weather that's been this week. Now, I'm driving a machine, so I'm actually in from the weather, but there's an awful lot of lads here walking in the ground, and they're after getting saturated day after day after day inside here, you'd be inclined to tell them, go away and get qualified to drive a machine and stay inside in the machine, at least you'll be out of the weather,
get a job where it's warm and dry. Pat, thank you. Desperate shortage of people in the trade. 3 months to a year for a tiling job, depending on the size of the job. The bigger job, the shorter the time. It's gone back to those days too. Mary, your blood is boiling this morning.
Oh, that poor woman that was talking,
Rebecca,
earlier. Yes, her family, it's these people that should be getting every bit of support from the government. These are the people that we want the life that she has had because of the fact that she has done things properly.
You're listening to someone who has done everything right.
Everything right, and is not being supported in any way, shape or form.
Because she's done everything right, she's not entitled to support.
Exactly. You know, and everybody, it's just, you know what I mean? It just makes my blood boil. There are people in this country who have never paid a red cent in tax or never contributed to their existence from cradle to the grave. And they end up dying with assets worth hundreds of thousands because they've acquired a house or something like that along the line. And then you have this poor person who is in this situation and has paid through the nose, paid over and above for every single thing she has.
What you're saying, Mary, I think, and what I'm hearing in your voice is that Rebecca is an advertisement for not doing it right.
Well, yeah, and that should never exist. Correct. We should never be advertising.
Yeah.
Look
at Frank as well. Frank did everything right, went to the bank in 2021. They were refused. He's also a straight-up bloke. He says, my landlord's a fabulous guy. He's got 3 daughters. If he wants the house for one of his daughters, he's perfectly entitled to have it.
Absolutely. You know what I mean? And people own their house. You know what I mean? And obviously, if somebody is in a position that they own the house and they want to sell it for whatever reason, really, they should be able to do so. It's not the landlord's problem, kind of thing. Just sometimes people that, you know, got any, it's just too much for them, or they don't need that income anymore, as you say, want somebody in their house, you know what I mean? It's
It just doesn't make sense, though. Like that Rebecca had to pay. She has paid €95,000 in rent and still managed to save and hasn't a house.
Yeah.
I mean, how can you explain to somebody, you know, in like an 18-year-old or somebody coming out of school? I've had this situation myself. My son, in his place of work, said that, you know, in a gym, like kind of thing, a girl there working as a PT, you know, doing her bit, working, or living at home because she can't afford even to move out. And a school friend of hers came in, like kind of thing, who has three children, a beautiful house that was provided to her, you know, and like, where is the incentive for these people to work? What, like, even if you do take a job, if you're working on the till in Tesco, you will never, ever be able to own your own home. Yeah. Whereas if you go out, and children basically are being used as currency.
Well, those are strong words, Mary, but explain you mean.
That's what the evidence is. That's the evidence is there that is what is happening.
Yeah. It's a strong point.
You know, it is.
I'm sure somebody
wrong.
Will disagree with you, but it's a strong
I'm
point.
Sure they will. And listen, everybody deserves some place to live. But bumping yourself up the ladder by doing things wrong shouldn't be to the detriment of the people who are doing things right.
All right, Mary, thank you. Owen, good morning. Hello, Owen.
Oh, hi, PJ, how are you?
What did you want to say, sir?
Well, just an observation or a question, I suppose, if you like. There's an awful lot of people living in Cork that don't need to be in accommodation that's built to last 100 years, you know? The population here is about 220,000 in the city, I think.
Yeah.
And I've been trying to calculate in my head that probably the population, the student population here is maybe 30 to 40,000.
I would say so, like, yeah.
Those people don't need to live in long-lasting accommodation. They need to live in places maybe. So, okay, what I'm posing is that, like, the rate we're going is going to take several years to get supply to match demand.
Okay.
Why don't we just build a lot of maybe prefabs or something just to accommodate that student market have it there, say these buildings are going to be taken down in 5 years' time, but they solve an immediate need.
Right. You're saying that the student accommodation, and there's loads of it going up all the time, that could be put to use for families.
Well, no, what I'm saying is maybe if you have cheaper construction and build accommodation for students, and maybe the buildings aren't designed to last all that long, that you would take them out of the market, competing with people maybe who need longer-lasting places.
Yeah, but you see, now you've got another additional problem coming down the track, Owen, that people spotted in the news about a week ago, and it's going to make things even tougher in a few years' time, and that is this new EU requirement that buildings have a certain BER
yes.
rating. And every new building, every new building is going to have to be built to a specific spec, and we're going to have to build to bring all of the older ones up to another specific spec because of EU directives. So what you're saying is a great idea, but we can't. EU mightn't let us do it.
Okay, well, it's not worth looking into. And again, if we're looking at that 5 years down the way, I mean, we are. Situation here is a crisis, and I'd be surprised anyone would disagree with me if that's overstating it.
Yeah.
You know,
well, it's emergency, total emergency. Yeah.
You know, I mean, I was listening to a guy in another radio station. I think he sells caravans in some part of the country.
Yeah.
You know, people live quite comfortably in them. They mightn't be in them in 10 years' time, but we don't need that. You know, so what I'm saying is temporary accommodation. Do it up fast, quickly, and have it there for 5 years until the normal cycle matches the supply and demand thing. You know,
well, if you go up to Hanley's Garden Centre, or if you go down to down there in Ballyseedy, down near Fota, they are both have sales pitches there for little modular apartments, and you can get a little modular apartment. You supply it with utilities. It comes with a bedroom, a kitchen, tables, chairs, insulated, wired, plumbed, and installed.
Yeah.
And you do the whole kit and caboodle for less than $60,000 for a two bedroom apartment. Imagine going to a supplier. You're right here. Imagine a government going to a supplier and saying, we want as many of those as you can make installed for the next 3 years. They'd give you a savage deal on them.
Yeah. I mean, they've got the money.
Yeah.
You know, we've got the space.
Yeah.
You know, even the city centre in Cork, we've got loads of space.
Yes.
You know, and I know, and I accept the need to have the usual kind of, the usual, we say, constraints and planning and stuff like that. But if we just, you know, it's an emergency situation, you know, just deal with it and we can get back to normal circumstances when the normal circumstances apply.
Like I was saying yesterday, Owen, I'll leave you with this one. I said yesterday, I said before, during COVID, we learned there's no such word as can't.
Yes.
During COVID, we decided we needed something on a Monday and we had it done by close of business Wednesday.
Yeah.
We need that kind of emergency provision for housing and homelessness and rent and all of that. Owen, thank you. Pat?
Morning, PJ. How are you?
Good. What do you want to say, sir?
Yeah, I was just saying the other PJ is that people that rent, you know, from landlords, they obviously have contracts in place.
They do.
There might be 2 years, 5 years. But I mean, at the end of the contract, they know their time is coming up. Okay, they go back to the landlord and they'll you know, renegotiate.
Yes.
But if the landlord is going to put the price of the rent up, it's going to make it outrageous. I mean, if they can't afford it, you know, you just can't afford it.
Yeah.
And, like, it's not the landlords, always have the rentals. Like, the government said, they should probably put a rent ban. You know, put a cap on the rents.
Yeah.
Like, if you're renting in Cork, if you're renting in Dublin, you're going to pay through the nose. If you go up to, we say, Clare or Campbell, you know, the rent is probably half the price again.
It is, but then you're commuting.
Oh, yeah, I know that. Mm. But, yeah, but they should put a rent cap. They should, you know, put a limit. I mean, if you're paying $2,000 a month, Jesus, people paying $2,000 a month there for rent, that's $500 a week. That's a person's wages.
Did you? That's an entire take-home wage from a decent job.
Tisha, yeah. So, I mean, that's something that people can't afford.
Yeah, but you see, the problem with rent caps, Pat, and this is what you'll be told, this is not my view, but this is what you'll be told, rent caps and things like that drive landlords to sell.
Okay, but who's going to buy?
Yeah.
If a landlord is selling, okay. If the government have money, then let them buy the houses. Give the money to the local authorities and leave them buy the houses.
That's another one of these amendments that went in over the last couple of days.
Yeah.
One of these provisions that if the landlord wants to sell the house, that the tenant who's in situ would have first call upon it, or that the local authority or Cluid or someone of those approved housing schemes, that they would buy it. Those provisions are in there. Will they work? Who knows?
Well, I don't know, PJ. Like, you take the HAP, for instance. There's a ring cap on the HAP. Like, if you're a family there, if we say, you know, 2 adults and 3 children, there's X amount of money, available to rent a house in the private sector. And you would have to pay X amount of money yourself. I forget now what it was.
It's
a small amount. But there's a set amount in, like, the combined from the government and your own funds. That's the combined, and that's the max rent that you can pay in that house.
Yes.
You can't pay more than that.
But you also have so many landlords who refuse to take HAP, and you've also people taking HAP, as we discovered the other morning, talking about Alina's flat that is literally falling down around her and leaking.
Well, I don't know about that because, look, I can't say what I walked in one says, but I walked in a similar situation. All these houses have to be checked before. For the government subsidy, they're not checked. The tenant goes in, rents a house, gets the money from the social welfare, and pays the rent, right? Yeah. But the minute they're taken into the HAP system, the houses are checked. Engineers come out and they check the houses. They put a list of things that need to be done. And if they're not done, they won't be taken into the HAP system.
But they also have to be fully registered for tax, which is another problem. Pat, thank you. Jerry, thank you for holding on apprenticeships.
Yeah, there's a friend of mine here, an apprentice carpenter, okay?
Yeah.
And they closed the place out in Douglas, the first place out in Douglas during the pandemic.
Yes.
Never reopened it. So he had to send his apprentice now up to Dublin to get his lodgings up there. And the whole hour, wherever the uncle is going to sit, I don't even know how old the uncle is. He's going to be up in Dublin on his own.
Wow.
And it's all about they can't get apprentices or whatever. And there's another man then, he's a mason. He has a 16-year-old. And he won't be left on site until he's 18, because he's not old enough to go on 18. So that's why they can't get apprentices.
Yeah. In older times, that lad would be on, he'd only be doing muck work, but he'd be on at 16, yeah?
he'd be on a 16, he could be on a 15 if he'd be big enough. But it's all, you know.
Well, so there has to be regulations too, Jerry, for safety.
Safe, passing all that, but how can he be safe if he's never on the site? You know, what young player's going to wait until he's 18 to go on as a mason and get first-year apprenticeship then as 18 years of age?
Yeah.
It's not there, that's why. So all this safe pass thing and this thing, you have to have a pass now, use a console, you have to have a pass to do this, you have to have a pass to do this. And
there's a lot of young fellas out there, they know that, that school doesn't suit, but they'd make great apprentices, Jerry. And you're right about it.
I can't read nor write in school, but I have a brain, it's unbelievable. I had a learning disability and the whole lot, but it's cute as a fox. There's young fellas out there and they're hanging around the streets and they're not getting a break. And they can't get a break because what young fellas is going to come on as a first-year apprentice at 18 years of age and get whatever the money they're getting now?
Yeah. The money isn't great, but you're getting trained. I remember talking to an apprentice. There was a young lad working on my house when I got some work done a year or two ago, and he was an apprentice, and he was doing, as I call it myself, grunt work now. He was just in the door. And I remember chatting to him one day. I made him a cup of coffee because the poor boy looked tired. And I said to him, do you want a coffee? And I said, you're worked, I said, until you fall down. He said, I am. I'm working until I fall down. But two things, he said. One, I love what I'm doing. I'm cleaning up after the lads. I'm doing all the grunt work, all the muck work. But in 4 years' time, I'll have a trade I can take to the four corners of the world.
And he have something to get out of bed for every morning.
Every single morning, yeah.
You know, something to get out of bed for. So just laying around cleaning their computers and all that. A lot of young prisoners won't do it. But there's young prisoners out there willing to do it if they get a chance.
And they need to get the chance. Jerry, great point. Well made. Thank you. 0818 96 96 96. So kind of two conversations going on here. We have a chronic shortage of apprentices, which means we have a chronic shortage of incoming tradespeople. We need thousands of houses built and we have nobody to build them. Back in the 60s and back in the 70s, I keep making this point, when this country hadn't an arse in its trousers, we built thousands and thousands and thousands of houses because we had thousands and thousands and thousands of tradespeople. Now we don't. On empty houses. Michael, great point. Good morning. What do you
morning,
want to say?
DJ.
Good morning.
Hello.
Hello there. What would you like to say?
I was just to make a note on the empty houses, PJ, and I suppose to start with it, the point, I think what the government want us to do is have, it's kind of like for or against private landlords. And it, in my opinion, it's not private landlords' job to provide housing for people. I mean, obviously it's their right to if they want to, but it's not their job. Mm. And if you look at it, the City Council, which is government, City Councils all over Ireland have 4,500 approximately houses that are lying empty.
Yeah.
That's 4,500 houses taken out of our housing stock. Approximately 500 of those are in Cork City alone, PJ.
Correct.
There's nearly 400 in Cork County.
Correct.
And they're lying empty. And I think it's an average of about 18 months turnaround time, which is just daft. I mean, to think that it takes that long to turn a house around is ridiculous.
If I leave a house today in perfect condition, Michael, perfect condition, hand back my keys to the council, it'll take them, like you said, nearly 18 months to give it to somebody else. That's insane.
Now, of course, and we all understand, there's a shortage of tradespeople. But, I mean, we need to start looking at this. You know, I hate the saying outside the box, but they need to start thinking outside the box and do things completely different. We've got a prison in the north side with about 300 guys up there, and I'm sure 99% of those guys aren't bad guys. They're just guys that did bad things. But they do virtually nothing all day, every day. That's bad for their mental health. They come out, and the percentage of reoccurring is, or reoffending is, I think, in over 80%. Why not get these guys out? You know, maybe with a promise of shortening their terms, even better with a promise of a home if they're homeless when they get out. If everybody has a home over their head, PJ, and this has been proven in one of the Nordic countries, I know they do it very well, everybody gets a home. And if everybody gets a home, your addiction rates go down, your unemployment.
Finland.
Yeah.
If you need, the first thing they'll do is house you. Then we'll help you to sort out your problems.
Yes. But imagine, like, all these guys, I mean, if you're sitting in prison, you pretty much, a lot of these guys have no hope. So imagine all these guys getting up early in the morning, having their breakfast, getting out, doing some work, working on houses. Of course, they're not tradesmen. Now, some of them probably are, but they're not. Not everything is. It needs a tradesman for the jobs
correct.
That need to be done in
correct,
these,
correct,
in these,
correct,
in these
correct.
Houses. So
my late father-in-law, Michael, my late father-in-law didn't have a specific trade, but by God, he could do anything with his hands.
But he did everything. Yeah. And like I know it's completely the other end of the scale, but if you look at that television program, DIY SOS, now, I completely understand it's fantasy world sometimes. Well, it's not really, because it really happens. They can go in a week and turn a house around.
You're right. You're right. People, we see all this in front of... But come back to the prisons idea, because one thing they do... For example, they're doing it again now next week, and I was up there the last time they did it. They're training fellas for the restaurant business.
And I
was up there last year when they finished one particular round of it, and they do an incredible job. And I also had the privilege that day of walking around where they're learning woodwork. You can learn anything you want in prison. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful idea, that certain prisoners who would want to do the kind of work might have a trade, might have been an apprentice before, when they landed. Get them out, get them working, get them... That's a fabulous idea, Michael.
Give them hope, PJ, as well. And give them... I know people probably wouldn't agree with this, but give them a promise of a home if they don't have a home.
Yeah.
I mean, and
or the promise of a start.
But look, exactly. But if you think of the cost of keeping somebody in prison relative to the cost of giving somebody a home, it's cheaper to give somebody a home than keep them in prison. They're not reoffending, so you've less victims and it costs less money.
Fair.
And they're doing good for society and they feel better in themselves. But PJ, we also have a situation during COVID where, if you think of the hospitals, all hospital procedures, bar a few, were stopped so they could concentrate on COVID.
Yes.
In my opinion, all buildings should be stopped because it's an emergency. It's a housing emergency equivalent to what the health emergency was. So if all building is stopped until the emergency is over...
What do you mean, like roads and bridges and hotels?
Everything. Absolutely.
Office blocks.
Yeah. Everything should be stopped. No planning should be given. Peter, we did it in hospitals, and unfortunately people have died because of it.
Yeah.
But we did it because it was supposed to be for the greater good.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, is there any better cause than giving people a home?
A number of fantastic points raised there, Michael. Thank you. 0818 96 96 96. Just before I go to Brian, Aileen says, I do feel for the tenants, but I agree with the eviction ban being lifted. There are landlords that can't get people out of their houses that they want to sell. It's a landlord's right to do what they want. That lady spoke so well. An eviction ban isn't the answer. What about all the ghost estates that were abandoned years ago? Maybe the removal of the ban will force the government to do something about the housing crisis now. But reinstating an eviction ban is not the answer. I have a house to rent now, but I'm reluctant to do so if the eviction ban is reinstated. It gives the landlords no choice. If tenants don't pay rent or don't maintain the property, these tenants are in a minority, but unfortunately they exist. Love your show. Heart goes out to those amazing tenants that treat houses as homes, says Aileen. Well, one thing about the ban, Aileen, and it's worth clarifying again, the eviction ban did not apply if you simply refused to pay your rent. Brian, morning.
Good morning. PJ,
I went through the list. Well, I'm well, sir. I went through the list of Cork TDs who voted for this last night. 10 of them voted for it. 6 of them voted against. 2 didn't vote. That's Simon Coveney and Donoghue O'Leary, simply because they weren't there. What would you say about those who voted for?
Well, I mean, they're in the same party that have been in. I mean, Fine Gael have been in the last 3 governments. Labour has been in one with Fine Gael, and Fianna Fáil have been in 2 coalitions with Fine Gael. And over that period of time, excuse me, they haven't built houses. And they're saying, oh, we'll do this and we'll do that. And the independent TDs, the Royal Independent TDs, put through a couple of suggestions. But all these suggestions are going down the line until October when the budget comes in or whatever. And they may or may not be put in there. but it was just to keep my side. I mean, these TDs are elected by the people. They're not elected by the party. Yeah. And but they're to the party line.
Well, no, you saw what happened to the one who didn't last night.
Nessa
Harrigan.
I heard somebody on the programme earlier this morning saying like that a gun is put to the TD's heads because what happened to him is like Nessa Harrigan. That's exactly what it is. The party is telling them what to do. It's the people elect them. And they should be directed by the people. I mean, they're assembly delegates. That's what a top the dollar is, an assembly delegate. And they're sent as a delegate by the people, not by the political parties. And they should be voting what the people want.
Mm, but one of the tenets of a democracy, Brian, is that when you're in a government, you vote with the government. That's one of the tenets of a democracy.
I disagree with you there, PJ. One of the tenets of a democracy is the will of the people. The power of the people, by the people, for the people.
There's that too. They're both principles of a democracy.
I can't use that.
They're both principles of a democracy, you're correct.
One of the tenets is not that the TDs have to vote the party. They're elected by the people. Mm. They're part of a party, but they don't have to toe the party line. I know that what would happen is the gun would be put to their head. But that's not democracy.
Fair point.
That is anti-democratic.
Okay. All right. Good man, Brian. Good to hear from you. Thank you. Sabrina, are you there?
Hi, hello.
How are you?
Hi, PJ.
Your partner's a block layer.
Yeah, and I'm going to be homeless in a few months.
Oh, my God.
The irony of it, I think about it all the time, how funny it is.
What's happening to you?
So I've been renting for 3 years with my daughter, and I just got notice to quit. So I got the 6 months. But every time I look on Daft, anywhere, adverts, there's nothing. There's nowhere to go.
When did you get the notice?
I got it the end of February.
Okay. And so that's kind of what, end of August you need to be?
Yeah, well, the first week of August I have to be out. So, I'm with a foster care leaver, and I feel like I'm just going to be another statistic now of foster care leavers becoming homeless. It's no fault of my own.
I've heard about that, Sabrina.
Yeah.
Is it Epic is the group that works with...
Yeah.
Yeah, I spoke to Epic before, and my wife, because of her work, gives me some understanding of the foster service, and there is a huge number of kids who come out of foster care end up homeless.
Yeah. To no fault of their own. I'm lucky enough, my only supports are my foster parents. But there's lots of people becoming homeless, leaving foster care. They've nowhere else to go. I just feel now I'm going to be part of that statistic. And as a child, I was homeless too, a young child. And I feel like I'm just going to give that to my daughter, and it breaks my heart.
The trauma you went through, you're looking at her now.
Yeah.
I know.
I always told myself I give my child the best life because I had a rough young childhood, and it just breaks my heart to think that I'm going to give her the same now, and I can't do anything about it.
You know better now than maybe.
Yeah.
You'll do fine by her. You'll protect her as best you can. I know you will. And your partner, You can't live together, can you? Or where does he live?
No. He lives at home, the home place, and I've been renting now for 8 years.
I see.
Yeah.
Any idea what you're going to do?
None whatsoever. I'm on to TDs all the time and just applying here, there, everywhere. Been emailing the council, everything. I'm on the list, but I'm only on the list 3.5 years, so I feel like I'm not going to see anything for a while.
And what kind of rent could you afford?
Just around the 1,000 mark, being honest with you.
Do you get half?
I do.
1,000 euro wouldn't get your phone box.
No, not these days.
Yeah. And, okay, it would out the road a bit. Say, from Mitchelstown, that kind of way. There's no way you could do that.
No, no. South of the Lee would be ideal. Mitchellstown would be too far out for me, childcare and things like that.
There you go. All your supports, all your network is here.
Yeah.
Because there is this thing, as always said, look, you know, Sabrina, you have €1,000 a month to spend. There are places where you'll get a place for your €1,000. But where are your supports then?
Yeah, I'll just be isolated if I move elsewhere.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a hard place at the moment, and I know I'm not the only one. There's thousands of us now becoming homeless, and I just don't know where we're supposed to go.
Yeah. All right. I wish you well. I wish you well. I know, though, that because of your own experience, you'll protect your daughter with every last fibre of your being. I know you will.
Yeah, I live in the car with her if I have to, you know, just... Yeah, I won't put her through what I did.
Okay. You mind yourself, girl.
Thanks very much for the call.
Cheers, Sabrina. Bye. Caroline, you are reminding the TDs, the 10 who voted, of our Cork TDs, who voted for this last night, that they will be remembered at the next election. Good morning.
Good morning. When it comes to voting in again, I was just saying they've got to remember the amount of people, that there's more actually people out there that are going to be evicted than there are landlords in the country.
Yeah.
And when it comes to voting, they're not going to vote in the government again.
Yeah.
The eviction ban should stay in for a while anyway.
Yeah. You were talking about Macroom Road and something you noticed.
Yeah, it's something I've noticed the last 2 weeks. They're putting up railings on the left-hand side of the road, which probably cost the council thousands. And I just think it's a big waste of money at the moment when there's a housing crisis.
Where is that now, Caroline? Whereabouts?
It's in Farnans.
Okay. Putting up fencing, yeah?
Yeah, it's like railings at the side of the road.
Okay.
It's done without railings for years and years, and all of a sudden we're in the middle of a crisis. And they put thousands into putting up these railings.
Yeah, you're suggesting spend the money on houses and spend the money on people.
Or spend the money on doing up council house and getting them out quicker, or, you know, trying to put it towards something like apartments or modular homes or...
Yes.
You know, it's just a big waste of money.
Do you know anybody directly connected who will be evicted or who's facing eviction?
No, I don't at the moment. But I'm sure I will hear down the line.
You think, though, that people will remember it come the next election?
Oh, they will, of course, yeah. They will. I mean, I look at students. My daughter's 21. She can't find a place to rent.
Yes.
She's going to college. You know, she wants to kind of go out, even rent sharing in a house, and she can't get it.
Yeah. Student accommodation notes?
No.
And what are rents like for someone looking for a place like that? What kind of monies is she talking about?
Well, she wouldn't be able to afford, like, she's only working part-time, she's in college full-time.
Yeah.
She even said to me, there's no way, Mom, I could afford to go out, like.
Yeah, you know? So she's staying at home now?
Yeah, she's staying at home, and she drop her in every morning.
From where?
To Manway direction, up to MUT, is it?
So you're bringing her from Manway to MTU every day?
Yeah.
And going back to Cletcher in the evenings?
Well, sometimes she gets the bus out.
Okay.
Macroom direction, then she gets off and...
Crikey.
I connect her there.
So she'd prefer to rent?
Oh, she would, yeah, with her friends or whoever, like, but they're all in the same boat.
Wow.
Mm.
Commuting from Dunmanway for college because there's nowhere to rent, and even if there was, it's too expensive.
Yeah.
That's another element to it, isn't it, Caroline?
Yeah, but the government, they just see the council, they just seem to be wasting a lot of the money, and we have a healthcare crisis and a housing crisis.
Yes.
They should put all the money into that at the moment and just try and resolve it, and then all the money can go back into building the roads and building, putting railings up and, you know, like, I mean, it's only going to continue if they keep wasting money the way they are.
Yeah, bit like the start of COVID, isn't it? When we just spent everything for a couple of months, we spent every cent we had on dealing with COVID. Is it time, do you think, you're just a punter like myself, really, do you think now it's time to spend everything we have on sorting this out?
Yeah, yeah. Everything should be just put into healthcare, and housing and just resolve it and then go back into the way they used to work things out with roads, new roads and all this. Yeah.
Good luck to your daughter, Caroline. Drive safe when you are commuting with her, and thank you for your call.
Yeah, thank you, PJ.
Annette, morning.
Good morning, PJ. Thank you for taking my call. One of the things I've noticed over the last couple of years, being on the council list myself, is we very rarely get answers directly from the council. And I'm not talking politicians, I'm talking from the council themselves. Why is it taking so long always to put houses back out into the market, onto the CBL? Yeah. We see houses that are being, you know, the council tenant may have passed away, may have moved on, whatever the case may be. Those houses are in impeccable condition. Some of them not always, but most of them are.
Yeah.
They are taking months, if not years, to be considered good enough to go back on to the CBL list so that people can bid for the houses. Yeah. We never hear why it's taking so long. We never get answers directly from the council. Also, on individual cases, I just heard another lady speaking yesterday about her form sitting on a deciding officer's desk for 5 months.
Oh, yeah, this was Katie, yeah.
Katie, how in God's name can that be allowed to happen? That somebody is about to be evicted, but her form sits on a council desk for 5 months without being looked at. Is there anybody there who's got any say in what goes on and can say, right, well, that form shouldn't have sat there for 5 months. We are so sorry. We will get on to that straight away. Yeah. We never hear that. There is no accountability coming directly from the council. Yeah. And I mean from the council, PJ, not politicians.
Yes, that's an important distinction. The councillors are members of the elected body that we call Cork City Council, but in behind that chamber is a vast number of people working in the various departments, executives, important people on a far higher pay grade than you or me or any city councillor.
1,000%, yes, absolutely. Yeah. But I mean, are they, like, there's no, from what I can see, PJ, and I've done some research into it, where is the accountability from the council? At the end of the day, they're civic or civil workers, you know, they're working for the council, which is a public body and so on.
Yeah.
So, I mean, we need more answers as to why this has been allowed to happen.
Yeah. Come back to your original point about, let's imagine you're waiting, you're on the list, you're next on the list, let us say.
Indeed. Right.
And I'm vacating number 10.
Yep.
And I hand back my keys.
Yeah, and the place is perfect.
Impeccable. I leave it impeccable. I've looked after the place really well. You're next up for number 10.
Yeah.
But you'll be waiting till Christmas.
Quite possibly even up to two years, PJ. And that is the reality of it. Why is there paperwork or regulations surrounding that house that take 2 years to say to me, Annette, there you go now. Number 10 is all yours. I'll have your keys for you in 3 months' time, even. 3 months.
Well, are they still ripping out the kitchen that I put in?
Yes.
They're still.
Right. Yes. They're ripping out pretty much everything, PJ, and I have seen it with my own eyes. Beautiful kitchens and other, you know, cabinets in the sitting room and so on. They are being ripped out, put into a skip. Because I've seen post after post in a group in Facebook where the tenants, the new council tenant going into number 10, be it myself or whoever, wouldn't have the money, obviously, you know, to buy a new kitchen or to buy new floors, and are then going to the local community welfare officer to get a grant for whatever it is, 2,000, 3,000. To put in a kitchen that the bloody council have just ripped out.
When I left a perfectly good kitchen in place that could be inspected by an engineer to know is it fit for use.
Yeah, it's not going to fall off the walls, like.
So they're still doing that.
They're still doing that. And then, look, they're ripping out heating systems and fireplaces, as we know. They have this new thing now where there's no fires allowed, so they're taking out whatever is there and they're putting in this air-to-water heating system, I believe.
Oh, hold on. So I give back number 10 on Friday and they have to put in this crack before they can let you into it.
Yes, because you're not allowed to have an open fire anymore now. So your fireplace that you put in, probably a beautiful fireplace, is going to be taken out and dumped into a skip. The boiler that you put in probably had serviced every year and it's working perfectly. That's going to be put into a skip. None of this stuff is given to anybody who could use it. It's all thrown into a skip. And they put in this air to water heating system. Stuff that is perfectly good, just doesn't tick the box for whoever it is in the council. That stuff has to come out. In this economic, the state we're in, that you're putting out perfectly good worktops, kitchen floors, the whole lot, getting rid of them, and then allowing the tenant to go on to the community welfare officer to ask for money to put them all straight back in again.
That's utterly ridiculous.
Ridiculous, and it's a complete and utter waste of public money.
Annette, good talking to you. Thank you very much.
You're a star. Thanks so much, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you, Annette. Fantastic call.
Cork's 96 FM.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. If you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. Use the Stamps.com mobile app to mail everything you need to keep your business running with up to 89% off USPS and UPS. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Use code PROGRAM for a special offer. That's Stamps.com, code PROGRAM.